dear, precious sister Shirley, I was very, very moved by your sharing your story and your recording, sister. I just finished. I went ahead and started listening, and I couldn't stop listening to it. And I am so thankful for your faith. I'm so thankful to the Lord God Almighty that He's worked this understanding into your heart, that you know that He loves you, and you know that He will not forsake you. Oh, sister, I want to encourage you so much. And I just stood in my window and looked out and prayed, and I said, God, please let me encourage the sister. And the first thing I thought is that I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. You are not alone. I am in this with you, and I really want to help seek the Lord and His will for you in this, sister. And so I just want to pray right now and just give all of my thoughts to the Lord on your behalf. Father, my God in heaven, gracious are you. Wonderful are you, Father. My God in heaven, I am asking you please to hear my prayer on behalf of my sister Shirley. God, what a precious, meek, humble heart you've given her. Father, what wonderful grace that you've given her to let her know that you are loved, that she's loved rather, and that you have saved her through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you say all who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There is no doubt she's suffering persecution. She is struggling against the forces of evil in the spiritual realms, in the heavenly host. Father, I'm asking you, my God, to show yourself strong in her behalf. My God, she feels all alone, but she's not. And the circumstances look dark, and they look dreadful. And it looks like she's maybe getting ready to be put into a cage of which she'll die a miserable death of soul inside that cage. And God, that is exactly what could happen, Father. Unless it is your will to put her in an unequally yoked marriage situation that almost every time I see happens ends up sucking the life out of the true believer. God, unless for some reason that I cannot understand, this is your will. Father, I'm asking you, God Almighty, to have mercy on Shirley. I'm asking you, Father, by your divine sovereign hand and your providence, you're reaching through with your invisible power and design in her life. God, that you would arrange these circumstances, Father, such that only your will can be done. Father, what I hear in Sister Shirley, God, is a will that is surrendered to do and sacrifice herself for whatever you ask her to. But Father, there are so many scriptures that tell us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14, what does light have in common with darkness? Christ have in common with Belial? Lord God Almighty, you hated the marriages in Ezra chapter 10 where the Israelites were put together with foreign women who you knew would lead their hearts astray. God, I'm the one that receives these emails from around the world of all the women who've been put in these horrible marriages, and they absolutely hate their life, and many times they feel like they've lost you in the process of being married to a child of the devil. And God, I cannot imagine at all under any circumstances, Lord, that this would be your intention for a sister who already so well knows the principles of the Lord God, who understands your ways, who seeks you, who's humbled before you, who truly wants to do your will. I don't see that you need to use marriage to break her, Father. It sounds like she's already broken and humbled before you and meek. And so, God, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Christ to give her clarity, Father God, to let your will persevere and be done in her life, God. Please, I ask you in the name of Christ to be merciful to her, and do not allow her parents, Father, to put her into this prison of arranged marriage where she'll be yoked to a child of Satan. God, that's what your word says. Your word says, he who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. He who does what is evil is of the devil. 1 John 3:6 through 10. You say there's only two kinds of people in the world in Matthew 13. There's the tares, the children of Satan, and then there's the wheat, the children of God. You tell us to have nothing to do with them. You say, come out from them, separate from them, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. My God, how could you want her to be in this situation? Lord, I do not believe you do. No, Father. On the contrary, Lord, I believe in the name of Christ Jesus. Your word is clear. Your word says, if anyone comes after me and does not hate mother and father, brother and sister, wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. God, that's Luke 14:25 and so. And then in Matthew 10:34, anyone who comes to me, if you do not love me more, such that it looks like you hate mother and father, you hate brother and sister, you hate wife and children, we cannot be your disciple. And we cannot be found worthy of you, Lord. This is the basic teachings of your word that says at some point in time, it may have to look like we hate our family, even though we don't, but in order to obey you, like when the man came to you and said, Lord, I want to follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And you said to him, let the dead bury the dead. No one who puts his hand to the plow and turns and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid that Shirley may have to make a very, very difficult, painful decision, Lord God Almighty, to take a stand for her faith and to trust you. My God, there is a time that comes in the life of many believers, Lord, where you have to trust and obey your heavenly Father to the point that it makes it look like we're disobeying our earthly father and mother. Shirley, I don't know how old you are. You sound older to me, but if you were 15 years old, I would not be saying this message to you. Most likely, if you were totally dependent upon your parents and you were this tiny little child and you were literally totally 100% dependent upon them in every way, and you very well may be, I'm not sure, I don't know what the arrangement is that you have, but it would be a little different. But it sounds to me like you are older, an adult, you're grown up, and you say 2 years ago you've made the Lord your Lord. And so, sister, I'm breaking out a prayer to explain this to you, that there does come a time, just like what came in Madame Guillot's life. For a time, when she was a little girl, she submitted, not knowing and being really ignorant of it. And God can still work with that. Please, God, help me to help her understand this. Okay. Sister, you have some really good understanding about the Lord right now. You may not feel like you do, but you have to trust me, you do. You have some good understanding about him, okay? Madame Guillot, one of my heroes. She was in an arranged marriage of death. Her husband was mean to her. Her mother-in-law was absolutely poisonous to her. Now, this all happened that God allowed this to bring Jean Bouvier, was her name, Madame Guillot, to this place of humility and brokenness before the Lord. God used all of that to break her, to get her to desire to do God's will. Sister, you're already there. It's like God doesn't have to put you into a prison to break you, to get you to take up your cross, to then learn that it's necessary for you to do his will. You're already, if I'm understanding you correctly, desiring the Lord's will. And so I'm struggling. God help me. I'm struggling how the Lord could ever possibly want to put you into a situation like that, when every single time I've seen it happen, it almost always results in some terrible, terrible situation. Now look, God allowed me to choose, because I live in America, my first wife. He could have prevented me from doing it, but he knew that she was the perfect wife for me. My whole life was such a mess, and I was such a horse, and running ahead of God in everything and every way. Sister, I needed brokenness. I needed somebody that was harder than me. I was godless. I had said a prayer at church and believed I was saved and wasn't doing anything for the Lord and obeying him. And I needed somebody who would break me, because I loved the world so much. So I needed brokenness, which is why God allowed that, my bondage to that person, to happen for so long, until he saw that I finally broke and I humbled myself. And sister, when the Israelites finally are broken by Pharaoh, they want to go worship God, and they can't when they're in bondage. Do you understand that God wants your worship? He wants my worship. And he's willing to hurt the Egyptians, even killing some of their babies to free his people so that they are free to worship him. But he leaves them in there for a long time until they cry out, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. Sister, that's the same thing that happened to me, is I had to be broken and got to a place where I would finally cry out, God, help me. I mean, I was so broken over this, and I couldn't change her. I couldn't change the circumstances. And watch, when I finally surrendered and said, God, your will be done, God got me out of the prison. And he rescued me from her. And he knew that now I was going to make her no longer my Lord, but him my Lord. Pharaoh was no longer going to be my ruler. He was no longer going to be the one I was in bondage to. Now Jesus Christ was going to be my ruler. Jesus Christ was going to be the one I'm in bondage to as a slave, a bond slave of love. I'm in bondage to the Lord because I love him. He's a good master. I want his yoke upon me. Matthew 11:28-30. Sister, you have a precious heart for the Lord and you have an understanding. It reminds me a lot of when I first started talking to Persis, that I saw Persis had a good understanding and she was staying low and humble. And she knew if she got married to one of these pagan guys, she would wake up dead one day. Now, Persis's situation is different now because of what happened to her. It's very difficult for me to explain and use some of these same illustrations, but understand this. You are at that place where you very well may need to. God help her to see this. You very well may need to take a stand for the Lord on this, surely, and be willing to suffer. Sister, do you know that Jesus's family thought he was nuts? When he went to Capernaum, they went running after him and heard that he was standing up against these Pharisees. And they said, are you nuts? And they went to tell him that he's out of his mind and try to get. And he says this incredible thing. There's all these people gathered around. And one of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, Lord, your family is at the door. Your mother and brothers here are here to see you. And they had come to try to rescue Jesus, to rescue God. You understand? And because they thought he was nuts. And he says this. He doesn't say, oh, my family's here. Great. He says, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? It's a very big, almost insult to his family. But he says, here is my mother and my brother and my sisters. Those who hear God's word and put it into practice. And when Jesus Christ made that statement, surely, he was drawing a line in the sand and saying, flesh and blood counts for nothing. He was taking and putting the spiritual relationship and the spiritual family way ahead of or on top of blood relations. Now, see, in India, you are in bondage to this culture where even when you marry somebody, most likely, if the tradition remains the same for the Roman Catholics, that you will go live in your mother-in-law's house with your husband, and you're most likely going to be miserable. From what I saw, a lot of you women become basically like slaves. And this is part of your culture. Jesus says, and Paul said, actually, if you can get your freedom, do so. If you can't, if there's nothing you can do about this, then you surrender to it. If there's absolutely nothing, if you were enslaved and you were made to go work in the rock quarries and there's nothing you can do to free yourself, then you trust the Lord and he'll be with you. And trust me, he is with some people in the rock quarries. There's no doubt about it. But sister, you may have a choice here, and it may be that you have to take a very high, costly route. Will you, at this stage in your life, will you give loyalty and obedience to your earthly parents at the expense of obeying the commands already written in the word of your heavenly Father, of your heavenly Lord, of your heavenly brother, Jesus Christ? Sister, it terrifies my heart to think about you being put into a marriage where Satan can effectively snuff out your heart, oppress you into misery, to the point of you perhaps losing your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, is it possible that it could have the exact opposite effect? All things are possible to him who believes. But at the same time, there's this principle that we shall not put the Lord our God to the test. So for example, I could go right now and go to North India and start preaching Jesus Christ, and I could end up being strapped to a pole by the end of the day with a bamboo stick shoved through my stomach. And I could go there and go, hey, I'm a Christian. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I'd be putting God to the test because God didn't call me to go to a village in North India and preach to the radical Hindus there. And so I put myself, and basically I made myself a martyr. Not by God's will did I end up there, but I put God to the test. It's exactly like when Satan comes to Jesus in Matthew 4. And Satan says to him, hey, listen, just throw yourself down off of the temple here. You know, the word says that God will command his angels concerning you such that they will lift up your phone and your lift up your foot and you will not even strike your foot against the stone. That's scripture. That's from Psalm 91. Satan was quoting it, although he was quoting it a little bit twisted, but he was quoting scripture. And Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So it would be foolish if I all of a sudden, in a moment of courage, driven by my own desires or will, I did something that effectively martyred myself. Jesus is not asking me to go martyr myself for him or put myself in a martyr type situation spiritually. And so, sister, I really struggle with the idea of you doing this, and I'm going to actually really pray with you and believe that God will stop this. And I know that you're in a very difficult situation living in India, and you live in this culture, and you live with your family putting so much pressure, and you know, what will our neighbors think? I hate the culture in India about that. I hate it that people care so much about what other people think, and they're in bondage and they don't even know it. And sister, surely by now you understand that Catholicism is not Christianity. It is an alternative to Christ. It is an antichrist. It looks like it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verses 3 through 5 and all the way down into like 15 and 16, it speaks of Satan's angels masquerading as angel of light, that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, that he looks like light. So even if you marry a Catholic, you're still yoking yourself most likely. I'm not saying all Catholics are not born again. It's going to be very, very rare in India, sister, for you to find somebody who's truly born again, who's walking with the Lord inside Roman Catholicism. Because usually when somebody has the lights come on, they'll come out of that system if they have any courage at all. So this is why I am so afraid of you, but yet, afraid not of you, but for you. But yet, Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, Father, I plead with you to be merciful for this sister, and my God, for you to intervene in her circumstances, for you to help her. God, this is one of your precious, beloved sisters, meek, humbled, Father, a light amidst the darkness. My God, have mercy, Father. Have mercy, Lord. Hear my prayers for this sister. God, save her from this prison. Save her even from the prison of her own mind, the fear of what will my parents think? What will happen? What if I lose my parents? Lord, for a time you had to lose yours. For a time I had to lose mine. This is what you call us to. You call us to absolute obedience, and it's a very costly obedience. You call us to carry our cross. This is the denial of self. This is very costly. And many people can get hurt along the way, and it looks like we hate, just as your commandment says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate mother and father, that means at some point we have to obey you. And Lord, look at what you say. You say that from now on, when you came, no one should think that you came to bring peace, but you came to bring a sword. And Lord, I see this sword coming to play right now in Shirley's life. You say, a man's members of his own family will be his enemies. You say from now on, there will be five in a family, three divided against two. You say that son will be divided against father. You're going to turn son against father, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own house. This is what you said is your will. This is what you said would happen, Lord, when we truly break out to follow you and do your will, because it's going to be very displeasing to our family. My parents thought I hated them for a time, and now they respect me. Surely I have to break out of prayer, and I want to tell you something. My mother thought I had a mental illness. My mother yelled at me. My mother cursed at me. My mother kicked me out of her house for a time. And now let me tell you what my mother did yesterday. My mother called me yesterday, and she said, Michael, I want to tell you that I was really blessed by our talk at dinner last night. She said, God really has given you some deep understanding and wisdom. And she said, I am very, very proud of you. Now, this is years later after I disobeyed my parents, sister. Sometimes, sister, the greatest way to be a blessing to your parents is to disobey them. To disobey them if it means to obey God. And I do not see how you can marry a godless man from the Roman Catholic Church or a Hindu church, whatever, Hindu temple, or somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Do you know that when a widow in the New Covenant lost her husband, Paul said she's free to marry anyone she wants, but he must belong to the Lord. And you know what that means, to belong to the Lord. It doesn't mean we sit in church. It doesn't mean that we've professed faith. It doesn't mean we talk about Jesus. It doesn't mean, you know, we go and serve in the church or whatever. We go through all the Roman Catholic traditions. It means we're walking with him and we know him and we're delighting in him. Sister, that's what you're doing. You're delighting in him. You're walking with him. You're wanting to know him. Sister, I'm telling you, you need to prepare yourself for suffering, and God will be with you in it. I suffered. I lost every one of my family members. I have two fathers on this earth right now. Sister, neither one of them will have anything to do with me because of Jesus Christ. I have a blood father, and I have the father who raised me. I lost both of my fathers, just as Jesus Christ said, I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You have to understand that's very much a part of God's will. That's very much a part of the teachings of Christ. Separation. I have four children right now that have nothing to do with me. And for all practical purposes in the kingdom of heaven, they're not even my children if I use Jesus's measuring stick. Who are my mothers, my brothers, my sisters, my daughters, my sons? They are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. I've had to pay a very, very high cost to follow Jesus Christ. My son one day said to me, 19 years old, he says, wow, Dad, you've lost two wives for your love for Jesus. Now think about what, I want you to think about this for a second, okay, sister? Think about this. God ran off at this point in my life, two wives. It's as if I've been a spiritual widow twice because of my love for Jesus Christ. He did not say, I want you to stay in that. He used my first marriage to break me, to bring me to him so that he could be Lord instead of me being Lord in my life. And then once he saw I'd passed the test of Persis even trying to give me some of the fruit that she had eaten, that I said, you're going to die if you eat this fruit and I'm not eating it. And he allowed it to go so long, and then he took her away. Once she descended into total darkness, he took her out. He divides and separates light from dark. So now we think about, surely, is God in the business of separating light from dark or putting light with dark? You see, again, I want you to understand this. When God put me together with my ex-wife, she was total darkness. I was walking in darkness, but my heart was not wicked. So he put me together with somebody who was a hypocrite, who had a wicked heart, to bring out the light in my heart, to get me out of the darkness. John chapter 8, 8 through 10, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Supposing the Lord said to you, he wanted you to renounce marriage. I'm not saying he is. Please don't read into my comments. What would your parents say then? Supposing that you became like a Gladys Aylward or an Amy Carmichael. Surely you've heard of Amy Carmichael. She's one of the most famous Indian missionaries ever. She wasn't Indian, but she came and ministered in India. And she renounced marriage. Maybe you've heard of Corrie Ten Boom, whose family saved the Jews at the time during the Holocaust after World War II, and they hid a bunch of Jews in their house until they were finally found. She ended up losing her whole family. Her sister died right next to her in her arms in a prison camp. She was so in love with this one man, and it ended up that the Lord called her away in a different direction. And she then spent the rest of her life traveling all over the world on her last nickel, trusting the Lord to provide, to tell the testimony of all that God had done in her life during that Jewish situation, the Holocaust. I'm not saying that that's God's plan for your life at all. I'm just saying, presume for a minute, what if that was? What if God had said he was going to send you to some north village and help you take care of orphans, or and he wanted you to be single and to be with him the rest of your life? Again, please, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, think of what the implications of that would be. Would you disobey your parents at that point? Or would you still obey them and ignore the vision that God had given you? So if you knew that God wanted you to be set apart, to be single, to go serve orphans, would you say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. My parents want me to get married to this guy. I'm going to get married to this guy. Now think about what the implications are of what I'm saying. If you would say, no, I'm going to pay the cost, no matter what the cost is, and I'm going to not marry, and I'm going to go serve those orphans wherever God wants me to serve them. Okay? Say you would say that to that. Well, then why would you not say that to the parents' desire to put you with an unequally yoked spouse? Do you understand that right now, listen to this, your parents are trying to use deception to pair you with a spouse? Is God ever going to bless that? Does that sound like something that God would do? Your parents are using deception. I'm not trying to disrespect or dishonor your parents, sister, please, but I am going to call it like it is. The Bible says, he who does what is right is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. And this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. And this is how we know who've been taken captive. When my wife was taken captive, Persis, by Satan, she's no longer in God's camp. She's no longer in possession of the light. She became filthy. She rejected Christ, and in place of light, there was darkness. And she'd been taken captive. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, she had been taken captive by Satan to do his will. When your parents are willing to lie and tell the groom's parents that you do pray to Mary, that you do worship Mary, that's a lie. The Bible says no truth ever comes from the lie. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So sister, what's happening is that you're going to have to compromise the truth of God to do this. And you're going to have to disobey a clear teaching of Christ. See, you're in a very difficult spot. If your parents were really walking with the Lord and they were Protestants, and forget Protestants, because I don't even consider myself a Protestant. I just consider myself to be somebody who reads the word and believes Jesus for exactly what he said. I never had to protest against anything. I just simply went to the Bible and started to read and realize, well, this is the way it was always supposed to be, right? If you go to that Bible and you see all of these scriptures that say, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Do not be partners with the disobedient. Do not hang around these people. Don't hang, you know, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it speaks of those who are sexually immoral, greedy, etc. The Bible says don't, and idolaters, and that would include people who have false religion and people who are counterfeits. The Bible says don't even eat with such a person who calls themselves a believer and does these things that are completely contradictory to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So if your family was really walking with the Lord, then you would have their support. Right now, your main war is against this spirit of Satan that's captive, has captive your parents, and he's trying to put you in bondage. He's trying to put you in bondage. And one of the best ways for him to do this is to squash you and ruin you and get you in a marriage that is going to absolutely eat your heart out. And I really am afraid for you. I'm afraid for you because I know that you're going to have to go through suffering. And listen, this is what I thought when I was listening to your recording, okay? Sister, you're going to have to choose your suffering. I have said this somewhere in probably several recordings before. Your suffering is guaranteed. You can either choose to suffer now from obedience and doing the Lord's will, denying yourself and taking up your cross, or you can suffer later the consequences of having disobeyed. Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you put lies into the ground, you get the fruit of lies. If you put a completely what's the word I'm looking for? Unequally yoked marriage relationship, and you yoke yourself to darkness, you're going to reap darkness. The Bible says if you sow to the sinful nature, or if you sow to foolishness, or if you sow to disobedience, it's the same thing. If you sow to your own human understanding, you're going to reap destruction. But if you sow in accord with the Spirit, you will reap life and joy. You'd be better off, I tell you, a million times better off to be single the rest of your life with Jesus Christ being your husband on your right arm, who will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. He will never backtalk you. He will never forget to give you, you know, the most loving, kind words. He will never forget to correct you when you're wrong. He will never forget important dates. He will love you better than any man on this earth could ever love you. You would be far better off to be single in the arms of Jesus the rest of your life, enjoying His grace, than you ever would be to yoke yourself, essentially putting God to the test by putting yourself in a terribly yoked, unequally yoked marriage. And you will suffer. And guess who else will suffer? God will suffer. And Brother Michael would suffer. Just already hearing your heart, I would suffer so much to think about you being put in a situation that's basically putting you in a prison. If you were disobedient, sister, if you were running out loving the world, if you still weren't broken and desiring God's will, then I would say, well, yeah, maybe you need some brokenness. Like I see how God does using people's marriages to break them or all kinds of difficult things. That doesn't sound like that's the case. Sounds to me like you're free in Christ. And you know, I'm not saying you haven't had bad days or discouragement. I even have those, okay? That's part of the Christian life. But sister, this is going to come down to, you're going to have to choose your suffering. Are you going to be willing to suffer short term the pain of suffering, whatever it is? You know, your parents threatening you that they're going to kill themselves. They're not. People threaten this all the time. I hear this all the time. I've watched the documentaries. They're most likely not going to do that. And quite honestly, listen, I know this is an extreme. Oh, this is horrible. I hate even having to say this. But even if they did, you would know you are still blessed of the Lord to have obeyed Him no matter what the consequences were. That's what it means to trust God, is that you obey Him and you leave all the consequences to Him no matter what. All of them, whether your family turns against you, whether you're left all alone, you will never be left alone if you had God. I was left alone. And if you don't think that God can open doors and provide for you in other ways beside your family and care for you and watch over you, sister, I tell you, you haven't yet trusted the Lord, because He can do this. He can trust you no matter what. You shouldn't want to hurt your family intentionally. I didn't want to hurt my parents intentionally. And it was caused me those weird feelings in my stomach. I didn't want to have to, you know, have this really difficult relationship with them. But I stood up and I said, no, I'm going to have to obey the Lord. You've heard my own mother sit on video and testify. I would talk to Michael about this and he would say, there's no way, Mom, I'm sorry. I have to obey God. Now, your consequences are going to be more severe, because in your culture, the family wants to put so much pressure on you to do what will make them look good. The reason why it sounds like you said you're getting a little bit older, this is affecting how people view them. They're afraid of how other people are looking. Well, their daughter's still not married. She's getting old. And what about children? And this is the whole thing in India. India says you're not worth anything unless you're married, if you're a woman, and you're bearing children. That's not what God says. That's what the godless Indian culture says, sister. Listen, I love Indians. I'm reverse prejudice. I'm reverse prejudice. That's why I even give you partiality. When I saw your little picture, Indian, I give almost every Indian I ever see, I give them partiality if it's necessary. I love Indians. I'm fascinated by them. Just the day before yesterday, this is a true story, I walk onto my trail and there they are, the 8 to 10 Indian doctors that I've ran into for several years. And I, good morning, brothers. You know, I call them brothers. Good morning, guys. And they know that I'm the quote missionary. And, you know, they ask me how it's going. And I say, I don't know. You tell me. I tried to tell you about Jesus and all of this. But they're atheists and they're men of science. And do you know something? When they walked away from the trail, this was just 2 days ago, I wept. I turned around and I looked at these Indian men walking away. I've never had that happen over a person that's white. A white-skinned American. Never have I done that. but over these Indian men that walked away, godless, heathen men of science. They're not even Hindus. I wept over them. So I care about Indians, and I understand and I have compassion. I know that, but sister, your culture is incredibly dark. It's one of the darkest cultures in the whole world. You live where Satan has his throne, and there's no way that you're going to be able to follow Jesus without paying some cost. I mean, it doesn't matter what country you live in, it's going to cost. And I think this may be a cost that the Lord may be testing you to see if you're willing to pay. Look at what it says in Luke 8, 10 through 15, the parable of the seed and the sower. And he says there's this one seed, I think it's Luke 8, 13, that is sown amongst the rocks, the hard places. And there's a little dirt, but it says at once it receives the word with joy, and the person receives the gospel and stands erect in Christ and says, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But then it says, because it does not have any soil. When the sun comes up, it scorches the plants and the roots wither and they do not stand long. And Jesus interprets this passage by saying, these are those who hear the word of God and receive it at once with joy, but when the time of testing or persecution comes, they quickly fall away. Sister, are you willing to be persecuted by your own parents? Are you willing to suffer? Now, I want you to think about this for a second, okay? If you lived back in the 1500s, the 1400s, the 1300s, the times of the Catholic Inquisition, do you know, sister, that you right now, if you were found out to be a Protestant, they would find you and they would hang you on a stake if you were not willing to renounce your nonconformist religious beliefs. You would be called a nonconformist because you're not conforming to the Catholic Church. And you know what they would do to you? They would burn you alive on a stake. You, right now, surely, the sweet Indian God-fearing woman, you would be burned alive at the stake. And I ask you, would you be willing to suffer that death in order to follow Jesus Christ into his suffering and in order to inherit the glorious eternal life on the other side of those flames? Or would you have shrunk back and say, no, I'll join the Catholic Church. I'll go ahead and conform. This is what I want you to think about, sister. Please, 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 please think about this. And Father, I come back to you in prayer on behalf of my sister. Lord, I know that you love her. God, I can feel your love. I can feel your covering over her. Father, please, she needs much courage. She needs much assurance from you. She must do a lot of thinking and a lot of praying about this. And God, I pray in the name of Christ, if I've spoken anything that's outside of your will, that you wipe it from her memory, God, and you don't let her hear it. I have spoken your word, God. Empowered by your spirit to paint a picture of the fact that she's going to have to suffer if she's going to follow you. And that suffering will work for her good, Father, a sanctified affliction. If she suffers in disobedience to your word, God, there will be no reward to that whatsoever. It leads to death. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, make this clear to her and bless her heart with the truth. Bless her with courage, Father. Many people like her have had to stand up against horrible forces of evil, and it will be fearful at times, and they will try to speak with loud voices and threaten all kinds of consequences, and they will use fear. But Lord, your word says that she is a daughter of Abraham's wife, Sarah, if she does not give way to fear. That's what your word says. So God, I'm asking you to help her to overcome the fear, to rise up and stand up against the fear that will come at her from her parents that they don't even maybe realize it are really coming from Satan, because he hates the seed of Jesus Christ in Shirley, and he wishes to come to steal, to kill and destroy. And he has seen the life. He has seen the meekness. He has seen the humility and the beauty of that life in this child of God. And now what does he want to do? He wants to snuff out the life. He wants to squash it. He wants to kill it. And if he can't cause her to come into unbelief, he wants to yoke her to a child of his, put her in prison, ruin her life, steal her testimony, rob her of her peace and her joy, leave a stain across her testimony for Christ. No, God, in the name of Christ, I pray you give Shirley the courage to be a woman of God, like a Deborah who stands out and puts men to shame. that she has the courage to stand up, not because she doesn't love her parents, but because she does love them, but she loves you more. And that maybe God, they would see her example that they haven't followed. And one day, because she's obeyed you, you would bless them with lights in their eyes. You would bless them with ears to hear, eyes to see. That they would see, wow, our daughter, because of her love of Christ, disobeyed us. She was willing to overcome our fears and all of our threats and all of our pressure. She loved God that much. Sister, I'm going to tell you something. I did this to my parents over and over again. And I see in their eyes, they know I have something with God they do not. I see it. I see the humiliation of them knowing they stood against what God was asking me to do and that they haven't themselves been willing to do this in many ways. I see the regret. My parents are perhaps older than yours. I'm not sure what the age of your parents are. And age almost doesn't matter. What I'm saying is the best way for you to bless your parents is to obey God, even if it means to disobey your parents. And not to say, but I'm just an Indian girl and I'm all alone and I live in this culture. No, you know something? Truly, Shirley, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These are not just words I'm speaking to you, sister. And I'm not just reading you the Bible as if I'm some sort of a Bible teacher. I'm reading you the Bible because I'm a Bible walker. You know, you've heard my stories. I've walked in this. I've seen that the Word of God is alive, and you know it is. You've seen it too. And you know that God will be with you, sister. I know that He loves you. You're a precious, beloved sister in the Lord. And I hate it that you're going through this, but I trust the Lord God Almighty that He has a purpose and a plan in this for you. You're a light amidst a great number of darkness. And there's no doubt God is looking for people like you who are willing to pay the high cost of following Him to raise you up and give you freedom in Christ. Satan's trying to keep you in bondage, but the Bible says where the Spirit of Christ is, there is freedom. There is liberty. You know something? The whole ministry of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Think about this. Jesus said that He came to proclaim freedom to the captives. He's not talking about people who are in a physical prison. He's talking about people who are yoked to darkness and to sin and to the law of Moses. Bondage, spiritual darkness, spiritual bondage. So Jesus came for freedom. So the idea that He would take somebody like you who already understands that and put you back in bondage, it makes no sense biblically whatsoever. But it does make sense that God would test you. Are you willing to suffer now as opposed to suffering later? Sister, I'm going to tell you something. It will be difficult suffering. You may have to cry a bunch of tears. You may have to shut yourself up in a room and cry your eyes out to God over this. I did. You may have to, you know, go wherever you can to some local park and just pour out your heart, or get wherever you can private, or ask a friend to let them come over and you just go in the room and cry and do whatever you need to do to cry out to the living God, to receive strength from Him to get through this. But I'm telling you, the suffering that you will pay is far shorter and is going to be far much greater to go through, much better to go through than the suffering you will face if you cave in now for a little bit of comfort. Listen to me. You know how many people were being tortured by the Romans or tortured by Catholicism to convert and renounce Christianity? And when the pain got too much, they recanted their faith in Christ. And there's a story of a man named Nicomachus. And there's a little 16-year-old girl there in the crowd with him. Her name is Denisa. And Nicomachus was asked to recant by one of the governors of Rome his faith in Jesus Christ. And because he wouldn't, they put him up on the stretching rack and they started pulling him apart. And at one point, after just a few minutes, he couldn't handle it. And he says, I recant. And he got off of the pain of the wheel and he got his comfort. He conceded to the will of the governor, the will of Rome. He then drops dead. And that little 16-year-old girl, Denisa, says, "You miserable wretch. You traded a few moments of comfort for an eternity of torment." Sister, I'm telling you by the Spirit of Christ, I never knew I would tell you that story, but that is a picture of what you get to opportunity to make a choice now. You get to make a stand and determine, are you willing to face fear in the face with Jesus Christ on your back and helping you the whole way? He's not going to leave you. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel the pain, but are you willing to get up on that stretching rack of your parents' opinion, of their rule over you, of India's culture against you? Are you willing to allow them to stretch and pull you apart and say, we're not taking care of you anymore. We're going to renounce you. You're a worthless daughter. We want you out of here. You've brought shame and misery on our family. Jesus Christ will never say that about you, Shirley. In fact, if your parents say that about you, you can know that you have been found worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would never say that to you like that. On the contrary, the Bible says, I believe right off the top of my head, it's 1 Peter 3:17. Listen to this. Do you know something, sister? God gave me this verse just the other day. Listen to me. Listen to me. I had something very bizarre happen to me a couple of days ago where I too was facing suffering, and I said, that's it. I want out on this. I was in my prayer field that I'm looking at right now. And I've been praying that God would allow me to stop telling my testimony, to stop telling journal entries, because I'm tired of being misunderstood. I'm tired of people saying all the things they are. And I've said it all before. I've already put it all out there. And I'm in my prayer field, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but finally it just came to me. That's it. I'm done. That's it. No more I will come forth as gold. No more apostate bride of Christ. No more trusting God in the wilderness. No more recordings. I'm never going to tell from this point forward anything else that happens in my life. I'm tired of being misunderstood. I'm tired of being mocked, tired of being ridiculed, tired of having to try to defend my testimony so that other people who come to the channel don't trip over those who are mocking me. That's it. I'm done. And I didn't say it like that. I'm being a little bit more passionate now, but it was like I'd been praying about this, and I said, yep, this is it. I'm over. And you know something? I came in and I said, son, I've got to leave by myself. I need to go for a ride in the car. And I knew that I needed to seek the Lord about this before I made a decision, Shirley. This is a big decision. It would have been a total change in my ministry. And I didn't want to take matters into my own hand. And do you know something, sister? God showed me the number 317. Go look it up yourself. 1 Peter 3:17, it is better for you, if it is God's will, for you to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. If you choose to obey God and hold fast to His words and His teachings and the principles of not being unequally yoked to an unbeliever and of not loving your parents more than you love Jesus, you are going to suffer for doing good. And you know something? The Bible says this is commendable before God. If you suffer for doing good, if you suffer for being a Christian, this is what the Bible says. It says, but how is it to your credit if you suffer for doing wrong? And so he says, if you get a beating for being a Christian and obeying the Lord, this is commendable. That means that God will reward you, and He looks upon you with not only acceptance because you're accepted in Christ already, but now He looks at you with approval. And I'm driving down the road and I see that 317 and I looked it up and I said, oh Lord, yes, sir. Sister, do you know something? The next three times on the trail, including this morning, since this has happened, every single time I look down at a certain point when I'm thinking about sacrifice and paying a price, and I look down and there's a cross standing right between my legs on the trail. I'll send you the pictures of the last three crosses I've seen. And then the devotion was Matthew 16:24 for that next morning. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Sister, what better way is there for you to deny yourself the pleasure of staying in good relations with your parents and keeping the peace? What better way is there for you to deny yourself the comforts of just whatever, I'm going to marry this guy to make everybody happy, but yet you would displease the Lord? He would be so displeased. And the Lord would have found that He wanted to be able to use you, but He couldn't, because at the first sign of pressure, you caved in. Sister, what I'm telling you is the truth. I honestly can tell you that it does not matter to me what your financial condition is. It doesn't matter to me what anything is. And listen, if you were to get kicked out, I can help you somehow. I can help you get some money. And somehow, if it came down to an issue of money and you can't leave because of money, I can help you and God will provide. You don't have to worry about this. You trust the Lord. The Lord has ways and means that you can't even imagine to provide for you, to help you. And he can fill in the hole of what you'll miss if your parents oust you for a time. What's the worst case scenario? They holler and scream and say, get out of our house. We want you to be no part of our family anymore. And yes, it would hurt like hell for a while. But I tell you the truth, the comfort of Jesus Christ comes in like a tidal wave into your heart. Within just a few days, you're feeling peace and joy, and God lifts you up and shows that you have suffered well according to his will. He lifts you up, and now the majority of the suffering is over with, and now you're on the journey of trusting God rather than 25 years from now. Gosh, I remember back all those years when I sent Brother Michael that recording and I told him I was just willing to surrender to it and just do whatever they wanted. And here I am 25 years later, dead, married to this child of the devil. I remember I used to have so much hope and promise in Christ, and I loved him, and I remember I really knew he loved me, and now it's all gone. It's like a fog. It's like a memory. What happened? How did I get here? How did this death overcome all my hope in life? Sister, I tell you, that's what will happen. That is what will happen. I've received the thousands of emails from women who are dead and men who were talked into staying in horrible, bad marriages. And it ruined them because you cannot yoke yourself to a body of death and expect to have life. If you end up in a prison cell with a guy who's an unbeliever, God can sustain you and keep you as part of his will. If you end up putting yourself in a prison of marriage with a dead body and you're sleeping next to a dead body every night, that is going to get on you. That is going to get on you. Father, in the name of the Lord Christ, I pray you help Shirley to understand the truth of what I'm telling you. I've preached to her your word. Now, God, I'm asking you to grant her a spirit of courage. Grant her the spirit that's willing to suffer no matter what. Just as Charles Stanley has always said, obey God and leave all the consequences to him no matter what. Father, this is how I've even gotten to this place today, that somebody like Shirley, whom you love, can reach out and ask me a question or say that I was encouraged by a message only because I obeyed you when it hurt. And I left all the consequences to you. And I pray in the name of Christ Jesus that she will remember my example and she will consider the outcome of my faith. That because I did what she once did, she today is now reaching out and receiving encouragement in life from Brother Michael. That when Brother Michael disobeyed his parents and Brother Michael stepped into the face of fears, they were not the death of me. It brought life in me. It did not bring disapproval from God. It brought approval from God. Lord, help her to see it. Help her to see that I'm not just reading a book or a Bible study. I'm telling her from my own experience that this is the way you work and that this is exactly what I had to face and that you blessed me. God Almighty, I thank you for this, sister. Please, Lord, I thank you so much for the strength and grace of Christ. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Father. Allow the light of Christ to penetrate her heart. Allow a spirit of courage to rise up. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And my God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. That if God is for me, who can possibly be against me? That I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:27 and 8:29, 8:28 and 29. And that I am convinced, Romans 8:38, Paul says, that neither life nor death, angels nor demons, height nor depth, present nor future, nor any powers in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ or the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, except our own disobedience, our own rebellion. It can separate us. It doesn't mean you don't love us, but it can separate us from the benefit. God, don't allow Sister Shirley to be separated from you. Father, let her throw herself totally at your mercy. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll give her wisdom on how to handle this situation. And Lord, and if at any point she comes to a place where she's too weak, God, that she will know that your power is made perfect in weakness. This is what you told the Apostle Paul, and that she can humbly come to you in her time of need and receive, God, give me strength, and you'll give her strength. And you'll work in the circumstances so that not everything is so hard and so difficult, that you'll give her some light along the way. There'll be some moments of very severe pain. The fire will be very, very hot. But right behind it will be some sense of comfort, just as your word says, that just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our life, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. That it won't be all suffering, that you will bring comfort to her. You will bring confirmation to her that you're with her. God Almighty, do not allow this beautiful soul to be yoked to a child of the devil. She has a role to play in this, God, I know, but I'm asking you, Father, I'm trying to stand in the gap for her, and I'm asking you, Father, to please save her from the darkness of the culture. Save her from the trap of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Place your spirit in her, Father. Raise her up strong, Lord God. Strong in the Lord. Weak in herself, strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Surely, God is wealthy beyond your wildest imaginations. And I don't mean financially. Of course, he has all the money in the world, but he can give you from his abundance the grace that you need to do everything I've talked about, to obey him, to count the cost high, and to walk through it all. Even Jesus said in Luke 14, you need to count the cost. It's a high cost. Sister, I tell you the truth, you may have to lose your family. Many people have. And here's the final thing. Here's the final thing that I want you to hear. You know how many Indian women are willing to lose their family for some guy that they love? Think about this, for love marriage. Think about how many women, you maybe don't know a whole lot because it's kind of rare amongst 1.3 billion people, but think about it. There are lots and lots of marriages out there now, even more so in India, that are love marriages where the boy and the girl fall in love. The parents disapprove of it, but nonetheless, and they're heathens, they're Hindus, they're pagans. But nonetheless, they're willing to pay the price to have a flesh relationship for the creature. They're willing to pay the price of losing their family. Now, I ask you a question. How much more should you be willing to lose your family for Jesus Christ if there are Hindus who are willing to lose their family for a boy? For a girl. Think about that. Let that inspire you. I guarantee if you turned on India news right now, you know, you see all the suicides. Oh, he wouldn't love the girl wouldn't love him, so he went and shot her. And there's that story and this story, and then there's this love marriage and this thing and that and the other. I guarantee even right now in the newspaper, there's some story of some love marriage, some famous person that rejected their parents. And look at this. They did this for the love of a creature, a person who's going to probably end up making them miserable one day and failing them in all kinds of ways. Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will never make you miserable. He will try you. He will test you. He will raise you up. He will allow suffering into your life, but he's never, ever going to do it without reason. He's never, ever going to do it without redeeming it. He's never, ever going to do it that it won't be your good and his glory. Sister, I love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God that you are encouraged by the message. I pray that you will get on your knees and you will ask the Lord to tell you, if you haven't already, to help you to understand everything I've said, and ask the Father that his will would be done. Ask the Lord that his will would be done. Give all of your weakness. God, I can't do it. I'm afraid. Whatever. Tell him all of your anxieties and he will help you and he will strengthen you. And you can do this, sister. Okay? And I'm in your corner. If you need to contact me, if you need to ask a question, you don't hesitate. I will return your email. I'm in your corner on this. You are not alone. And Jesus Christ, even more importantly, is in your corner. Okay? You are loved, respected, and I am so proud of who you are in Jesus Christ. God bless you, sister.